観光トーク。Aloha everyone. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Konko Talk is a program people with Konko face talk about various topics. Thought and opinion we share may be different from you. I hope you enjoy hearing something new in this program. If we learn something new that may affect our thoughts, behaviors, and action in a better way, improving means we learn something new and it must be a joyous moment. We may have different backgrounds, religions,thoughts, cultures, and that is good. Diversity strengthens your community, just like biodiversity is essential for the earth. I am Koichi Konko from Konko Misha of Honolulu. Joining me are Amy and Edna. How are you doing today?
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for joining. Thank you. Thank you very much for yesterday, the Konko Misha of Honolulu.Held the spring memorial service, and the Wahiawa Church brought a lot of flowers, and Amy arranged the flower arrangements, so it was really beautifully done.
Thank you.
And it was good. If you'd like to see, maybe you can check our YouTube channel, Konko Honolulu, maybe you can see how the flowers arranged. Thank you. So today, I'd like to share four episodes from founders Konko Daijin, Konko founders biography. I'm not sure it's an English version or not, but I got from a Japanese version. First one, pilgrimage to the Ise Shrine. Next is Hadashi no Gyo, English practice of faith, going barefoot to the fields. And the third, Kami's Lie and the Tenfold Return of Wind. Modoshi no Kare wa Jusobai.And the very last, Kami the test, the face training, instruction for picking up money. Those are pretty, I think, minor episode, but I think that's a good episode to learn about the founder's character, what kind of person he was. And the first one, when he was 17, the Ise Shrine pilgrimage. Have you ever heard of Ise Shrine?
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, good.
Really nice. I want to go there again. That is one shrine I felt so much energy. We went early in the morning, but yeah, I definitely want to go there again.
Where exactly is that one located?
It's a Mie Prefecture.
Yeah.
So it's kind of center of Japan. One of the most famous shrine in Japan. And Amaterasu Omikami is enshrined in the Ise Shrine. Amaterasu Omikami is an ancestor of an emperor family. And it was very popular to visit Ise Shrine, especially Edo era. Almost every like 60 years, every 60 years, it became very popular.
Yeah, every 20 years they rebuild it, right? They just take everything down and they rebuild it. And they donate the wood to other smaller shrines, I heard.
So there is a duplicate. Right next to the shrine, there's a...the older one and the place. So, and 20 years later, they built exactly the same one the next to the old one. So to succeed the skills, so that's a good every 20 years. You have a younger generation and they can learn always new skill to continue on.
So you're saying there's two shrines built?
There's only one.
They take it apart. They donate the old wood to other shrines, and then they rebuild from new wood, a brand new shrine next to the one that they're going to take apart. And they do that every 20 years, which is like mind-boggling. So it's like before it even gets old, they build a new one.
So when Fonda was 17 years old, he joined a group from the Otani area where he lived. It's about 10 people went together. He was the youngest one, I believe.And it was be very eye-opening, one of the kind experience for him, I believe. He was only 17. He lived in a very small village, about 100 people living in his village. 500 people, 100 families, and about 500 people living. And that's it for his world. But he visited Osaka and Ise. So it's a very, very...interesting experience for him. Every so often, so the family member when his children went too, and it was 1830, and that's the almost the end of the pilgrimage for blessing were in fashion. It's so called, it said, pilgrimage for blessing were in fashion. And they left for the Ise Shrine July 15, and they came back on middle of August. So almost 1 month. It took almost 1 month. And they visited not only the Ise Shrine, but visited Osaka and Koya-san, Omine's Mount Omine. That's like a central worship, the headquarters of Shugendo. When he left for the trip, the pilgrimage, his mother, adoptive mother, placed the okyu on his leg. Do you know okyu?
Is that cautery treatment?
Moxa bustation?
I don't know. What is it called again? They put like really like sawdust or something? Is it sawdust on like pressure points or something, and then they light it up?
Yes, so it's supposed to good strengthen his legs. It's a, it's called Ashisanri on the leg.
Oh my, aren't you gonna get scars though if you do that?
Good question, good question. So he wrote that because of a burned moxa on his legs, and that's supposed to help his leg, but his legs to become infected during the journey. So he suffered from that.
Oh man.
So that's on the Konko Daijin's memoir. So we thought that's only the suffering experience. We don't know he enjoyed or not, because he suffered from the infection on the leg. But recently the founder had written material to donate the Konko Kyo. These are the new information, and this one of the material is about the money, how much he spent, how he spent on the pilgrimage when he was 17. So he went to Ise Shrine. He received the ichiryo. I don't know how much is that as a okozukai. What's it called, okozukai in English?
Allowance.
Yeah, allowance. Yeah, he received the one ryo allowance. So he went to Koya-san first. He purchased the omiyage for his mother, adoptive mother, Onna Tsukiyaku Mamori. I think that's Tsukiyaku is a menstruation. So I'm not sure what is that exactly, but it's for women's sickness, for the omamori for women's sickness or something. And he went to Omine Yama, Shugendo's headquarters. That's a sacred place. He purchased like omiki, and he purchased Yoshino Hiuchi, and went to Nara and purchased the Kogatana and any other like obi and stuff. And he went to Osaka. He purchased the omiyage for mother too, adopted mother too. It was a tegasa ippon, the umbrella, small umbrella, I guess. So it's not only like a bad experience, but he purchased the omiyage for souvenir for his adopted mother. So that's an opportunity for him to show his appreciation to his mother through buying omiyage. Look for omiyage and think about what kind of stuff he should buy to make his mother happy. According to my research, it takes a lot of money too, you know, to 1 month travel trip. 1 month trip, probably $3,000, maybe $6,000. And that's Ameo Hazusu. It's one of the kind, so they spend a lot of money for that.
Ameo Hazusu?
Mm-hmm.
So is that like saying splurge?
Splurge?
Splurge.
Splurge?
Yeah, because it's a once in a lifetime kind of trip. Yeah. So they splurged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many people. So according to the Wikipedia or something I researched, it's about 5 million people went in half a year. It was so busy. Actually, the founder said to his adopted parent when he adopted at age 12, he said, on day off, I like to visit shrine temples. 私は神仏に参りとございますから、休日には心よ参らせていただきとございます。He asked. So it was very dream, yeah. Dreams come true for him, I think, a visit Ise and many other shrine temple, famous shrine temples. And he purchased the omiyage souvenir for his mother. How about the father? Father didn't go, only his friend or elderly from the group when his father didn't go the pilgrimage. And I thought, why? No souvenir for father?
Well, he bought for the mother, but not for the dad?
No. But because actually his father took him to the trip, pilgrimage to the Konpira-san. It's okay. Kagawa Prefecture. It's next to Okayama where they lived. But you have to cross the sea. It's about overnight trip. And also they went to, his father took him to the Itsukushima Jinja, Itsukushima Shrine in Hiroshima.
Oh, we went there.
I've never been either.
How can you not go there?
I visited.
Oh, interesting.
I saw a lot of pictures.
Oh, is it because every trip is church related? So you never go on like tourist areas?
It's not a convenient place. Né? You have to all the way. It took about a couple of days from the Konko town where he used to live, the founder lived.
Uh-huh.
So it was a probably meaningful trip for him. Two of them went together. And actually when the founder turned to 44 and his son, the elder son was 13, he took his son to the Konpira-san and the Itsukushima Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
So just like his father did for him. So probably he didn't need to buy a souvenir for his father, but his mother didn't have no chance to visit such a important shrine temples. So that's why he only purchased souvenir for his mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is the significance of this episode?
What do you think?
I don't know. 17-year-old? Wait, 44-year-old?
17 years old. He's a shrine. He's a shrine. Pilgrimage.
Okay.
It's like a culture shock for him. Probably a different world.
Mm.
Probably he never seen too many people in the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're visiting Osaka or, you know, the Ise Shrine, that's a significant experience for him. I still remember the feeling when I visited Tokyo when I was 10 or 12 years old. It's a culture shock for me. I raised in the Konko town countryside. I never slept on the bed. I never eat breakfast, like a Western style breakfast, always rice and miso soup. But when visited Tokyo, we had a Western style, like a bread or soup, mashed potato kind, and the bathroom too. You know, the Japanese old style bathroom versus the Western style one, the sit on style.
Mm-hmm.
That's a culture shock for me. I still remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Open mind experience. Can tell like it was a narrow world to the world.
So it was a good experience for the founder to see the world in that kind of perspective then.
Mm-hmm.
And probably he saw a lot of different kind of people, different characters. Especially in the trip, so many people visiting a trip, visiting shrine as a pilgrimage. So they are so excited, happy. So seeing those people, maybe it's a good experience. To me, when he's sitting in Okekai, he expected different kind of people come to visit him. He doesn't need to have a narrow-minded. He could have an open-minded and accept the different kind of people.
なるほど. So it's good to travel, I think. Because, you know, it's funny because before I met my husband and I went to Japan several times before that already, I only went to Japan on church-related functions. So I never went to like Tokyo or like to have like a vacation to enjoy, just go to Japan to enjoy various places. We always went to for church-related functions. So when I first went to Japan for vacation only, I was almost scared or like worried that I'm going to get bocce or something. You know, it's like, can I go? Is it okay to go to Japan? It's not church related. But yeah, that was an eye-opening experience for me too, because, you know, I haven't been to the like metropolitan areas of Tokyo and like go to all these crowded touristy locations. I haven't been to Kyoto or like Osaka like that. So it was a big shock for me, but I had a really great time and it really opened my eyes. Yeah.
Amy?
traveling always opens up a person's perspective. You get to see how other people live. We make it a point whenever we travel to experience the food that's new, unique. Like, food is my thing. I like to eat. So when I travel, I like to make it a point to like try foods that you can only get in that area, or common foods that people eat there. And it really opens your eyes to a different perspective. And I think for Kwonko-sama to have traveled at that young age, 17, that would have been what, like a senior in high school now.
Mm-hmm.
I always encourage, even when I was teaching in Japan, I really like the fact that Konko Gakuen encouraged the kids to study abroad, whether it be through field trips. The kids actually had opportunities to go. They could choose to go to either, when I was there, you could choose to go to Hokkaido, China, or Australia.
Wow.
We're talking kids that have money, but in family, they were afforded that ability to go, that chance, the opportunity to go experience something abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would often have students from other countries at the school. So I think that kind of cultural exchange is important, especially in a world like today where people can reach out to each other, kind of make connections with each other so easily through the internet or what have you. But it all facilitates getting to know someone other than yourself, experiencing the world through someone else's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's always a great, great thing. So that probably helped, like you were saying, Koichi-sensei, that helped Kwonko-sama be able to mediate to people, to all kinds of people. Had he been stuck in Otani Village all his life and then tried to mediate to people that would come to him eventually from all over Japan, I don't think he would have been able to mediate, or he probably wouldn't have been much help to a lot of people that he wasn't familiar with. So it kind of seems like maybe Kami-sama had him go on these trips and experience outside of Otani Village so that he could be Kwonko-sama later.
Thank you. Next episode I'd like to share is Hadashi no Gyo, going barefoot to the fields in almost winter time, as a spiritual training. So it was when he was 44 years old. So when he turned to 42, he got the critical illness, he almost died, and that's a turning point for him. This first time he was able to communicate with Kami-sama, and since then he was able to receive some kind of message from Kami-sama. And if turned to 46, he became devoted himself to Kami-sama, as receiving divine message from Kami-sama, divine request from Kami-sama. So he received the message when he was 44. Practice throughout the entire autumn season. Wake up in the morning, change into formal clothing, and go to the worship hall to pray. As soon as you have finished, have your wife bring you a meal tray to the worship hall and eat there. After your meal, change your clothing and go out to the field in bare feet. So I don't know why Kami-sama said barefoot, go out to the field in bare feet. It's like November or December, it's autumn, but start to getting cold and it could be frost. So he tried to listen to Kami-sama's instruction. But his wife Tose concerned and said, it doesn't look good to walk barefooted if there is a heavy frost. People might think he does nothing but practice. He doesn't even make straw slippers. So Kwonko-sama responded, at that time he's just a farmer. If you think it does not look good, follow me with my straw slippers. Do you know this episode, Edna?
Yes, I know that episode. I think it's weird. Honestly, it's weird.
So the Kwonko-sama responded, my wife doesn't seem to fully understand Kami's blessing. She seems more preoccupied with and worried about one's reputation. This, while I'm doing everything Kami has instructed me to do with a concern for my reputation. So he could disappoint it, wife's expression.
Mm-hmm.
I try to listen Kami-sama's instruction, why you bother me? And why don't you follow me with my straw slippers? It's not sounds right, but it continued. Kami's instructions was practicing faith, also understanding his wife's concern was practicing faith as well. The Tose, the wife's words and concern a deeper meaning of practice as instructed by Kami became clear to Founder.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually did tie his straw slippers onto the end of his hoe and carry them on the shoulder. And on the way, he saw the villagers and they wondered, why you are barefoot? And he responded, oh, my straw slippers dig into my feet and hurt, so there's an excuse. I think that's a very interesting episode. What do you think, Amy?
Initially, I smile when I hear that, just because it sounds like, it almost sounds like Kunko-sama had like for lack of better way of putting it, smart ass kind of response to his wife's concern. You know, I feel like Tose-sama, she had like a human reaction to what he was doing. Like, why are you running around barefoot? You know, it's cold for one thing. So she was probably worried about his well-being. But at the same time, she was also, naturally, you're going to worry about what other people are thinking about you. And she wouldn't want people to think that he's some bum off the street or some poor, you know, it could reflect badly on her. Like, Kunko-sama, his wife doesn't even take care of her husband. She can't even put slippers on his feet, kind of thing. And so then for him to respond in a, well, if you're so worried about what people think, then just put the slippers on my garden hole then, and then I'll just carry it with me, or you follow me with the slippers. That's kind of a smart ass thing. That's like asking for a. What is it, a marriage quarrel, the kind of quarrel between married couples kind of thing. So when you say it was a blessing that she was, what she was saying about the slipper, like, what do you mean by that? What, how was that a blessing? Or how was that supposed to be seen as a blessing?
Coach, in the story? Yeah. Can you answer that question? Why is it a blessing that he listened to those instructions?
To me, the Kami-sama just created a challenging situation for him. And how you react, you want to listen to Kami-sama's instruction or message, and you ignore your wife's concern, because your wife think about your health, but also reputation, that you practice faith, and because of Kami-sama, or how you practice faith, people start to look down or laugh at, and it's really want to do that. That's, I think that's the wife's concern, because you're supposed to do farming work, and you should do your best as a farmer. And it's including making the slippers, the waraji. That's not like a slipper, but you wear it tied to your foot to protect your feet. So that's one of your important job as a farmer. And you ignore that. If you don't wear, people might think that way. And you're supposed to do what you need to do. But you're lazy, so you don't do that. Maybe you're too busy for Kami-sama, and that's not right. So that kind of reputation is not good for you too as a practitioner. So I think that's a wife's concern. And I think this, we have similar situations that you believe this is really good. But same time, the people around you or the society doesn't allow you to do so or against you, and that's a conflict. And usually we have to choose one. What you want to do, or you listen to people, you give up your idea or ways. But it's not compromise, but the founder find another way to fulfill both, listening to Kami-sama's instruction, the same time give a comfort or ease wife.
So he was considerate to Kami-sama and the wife.
So he didn't choose one of them.
Yeah, he made sure both of them were satisfied.
Right.
Which is, I think, very considerate of him.
I see.
So I thought like, oh, he was smart.
Yeah. Well, the founder, I noticed in the Gorikai, is he's really considerate to the wife all the time. He understands how hard it is to be a wife, I guess. He's really nice to women. He credits women all the time. Like, there was an episode where, I guess, Tose, the wife, had a really tiring day. So she was just, like, taking a quick nap on a tea table, I guess. And a guest showed up. And the guest was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's not even like welcoming me or greeting me. And she's just sleeping there. And he's like, oh, how dare the founder allow that? But the founder just told him, oh, you know, she just had a tiring day today, so I'm just letting her rest. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very considerate and kind of him. So
thank you. I'd like to share another episode. You know, once he started to practice faith and also devoted himself, he quit farming and devoted missionary work, actually devoted himself to Kami-sama, the request that people start to come, and he like to save those people through torture mediation, through sharing his experiences. And his father-in-law, the wife's family, didn't like it because he was a very devoted person and diligent person, worked so hard and became a successful farmer. He gained his property. So his father-in-law's family are happy, I think, and they're proud of him. But all of a sudden, he quit farming, so no income. And actually, the farmer have a responsibility to continue farming and pay tax, and you quit it. So especially the father-in-law is not happy. So told him, why don't you quit practicing faith and go back to farming? The founder said, no, but why don't you practice faith? And that relationship, the Furukawa family, his wife, the family, and the relationship is not good once he started practicing faith. And then this episode happened. So one day, the Kami-sama told him, Kyutaro Kaihara
of West Kamagata
village has passed away. Prepare to attend his funeral and accompany your relatives to
Kamagata.
So Kyutaro was the brother-in-law's wife's father. Father-in-law's relative. So they know each other. And Kami-sama told him he's passed away. Kyutaro Kaihara passed away. So he was actually pretty old and often sick in bed. So he informed the Furukawa family he passed away. So he walked to the
Kamagata
about 4 miles away, and with funeral clothes on his back, leaving before the Furukawa family. And he visited Kaihata family's house, arrived at the Kaihata house, and it was pretty quiet. There's no sign of a funeral. He wondered, And all of a sudden, the Kyutaro, the one who supposed to pass away, came out from the backyard and said, oh, Bunji, what's the matter? So he was so embarrassing, yeah? And, nothing, and he about to leave without explanation, and the Furukawa family rushed to anxiously, so it was so embarrassing for him. Kami-sama, the instruction was untrue. What do you think?
That is so messed up, telling, getting an instruction from Kami-sama that somebody died and the founder was in funeral clothes and arrived and be like, he's still alive, right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that's the stuff of soap operas, that. That's, yeah. Wow. What the heck? But so why, there's got to be a why, right? What reason,
right,
for that?
Right.
So, if I were to guess, it would be something like that gave an opportunity. If their relationship wasn't good to begin with, then it gave them an opportunity to be all together in one place and kind of be forced to talk about stuff. No.
That's interesting because...
I never thought about that. That's a good insight.
Mm-hmm. The Kyutaro Kaihara was 73 years old at the time, and they already getting old and often sick in bed. So, people believe easily, yeah? And even the founder believed Kami-sama's instruction, but it was a lie. And there's a Kami-sama's excuse, the word, I have opened the eyes of your relatives because they have always ridiculed your faith. On your way home, recite the proverb, the returning wind is 10 times stronger. This is a local proverb which held the meaning that if you do something bad, you will suffer more than the suffering you cause. So he returned home while reciting this proverb, but still, according to the biography, he was, he wasn't happy. The founder wasn't happy. He went back home and he tried to suppress various negative thoughts. This Kami-sama's word is not good enough to me. It's a kind of punishment to them or her, actually to him, the founder was suffer from this incident, I think. Mentally defeated if I was him.
I'll be so embarrassed and apologetic that there would be no words to... aren't you gonna feel forgiven, Chuka? Did it happen in now, like today's time? Like, I got a revelation from Kami-sama saying, oh, so-and-so died, and I'm like shocked, and I called them, and it's like, is everything okay? And they'd be like, what the heck? Imagine the amount of what the heck they felt when the founder showed up like that.
You don't want to talk about your face anymore or Kami-sama instruction. Oh, you Kami-sama lied to me.
Yeah.
Right. How much merit does that hold now? Anything he says, how do you show? You completely lose face.
Mm-hmm. But there is a continuation. Mm-hmm. So after this incident, the Furukawa's disbelief over the face became greater. However, Sansaku Furukawa was the first to think deeply about the incident. So Sansaku is his wife's younger brother, the founder's younger brother-in-law. He started to think deeply about this incident. It was a serious matter that there was an incorrect revelation from Kami. If we, all the family members, don't reform our hearts right now, anything could happen. So only this person think about why Kami-sama lied to us. There's a reason. There must be a reason. What is that? Maybe that's a time we need to reform toward founders or toward his faith. So he started to go to see Konko-sama, the founder, to seek strategic mediation. And the following year, after many ups and downs, Yaozo Furukawa, the father-in-law, also started to seek strategic mediation. And with the passing of time, all of the Furukawas became devoted believers. What do you think? Really? We say like, oh, that's a manga mitai ne. Unreal. But maybe the one of the family really think about this incident. Of course, if Kami lied to you, if they have the reason, this very heavy, you're into reforming yourself.
This one's a little bit of a far stretch for me to understand how his brother-in-law came to that point. Like, because even Konko-sama himself was frustrated, I think, with the situation.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he's devoted himself to Kami-sama and yet was lied to and let down by Kami-sama.
Mm-hmm.
How in that situation was the brother-in-law able to see and come to that conclusion that, yeah, if we don't do it, how he was able to go from being lied to turning it into revelation that life is short. Anything can happen at any time. So we need to forgive each other and mend that relationship, make good with people around us. Like that's maybe some people will come to that, come to that realization when, like, after a near death experience or something. But for him, for his brother-in-law to come to that revelation after thinking that his relative was dead but was not yet, that's pretty amazing. But that's kind of a far stretch for me to think that I'd be able to come to that conclusion after something like that.
We can tell right now, read this episode, as long as you practice faith, believing Kami-sama, difficulties are blessing in disguise easily. But when you're in this kind of situation, it's, I think, very difficult.
Right.
So again, this kind of Kami-sama challenge to him, you still can practice faith, continue to practice it, you can still believe me. So I'd like to share another instruction of Kami-sama, Okane Hiroi no story. That's interesting to me. So one day, after he started Toichigi mediation, Kami-sama instructed, even after the founder began to dedicate himself to mediation, Kami-sama still continued to test and have him practice faith training. So one day, Kami-sama revealed, tomorrow, I will have you pick up some money, get up early, and go to West. To me, kind of weird guidance or instruction. What do you mean, pick up some money? I will have you pick up some money. Are you going to listen to this revelation if Kami-sama tell you this? But he followed that. He walked for 5 miles with a lunchbox, look for money on the street, kind of weird there when look at the founder, he would like try to look something on the street. But of course, he couldn't find anything and asked Kami-sama, should I keep going? And Kami-sama said, keep going. And finally got to Kasaoka and had a lunch. Kasaoka is about 8 miles, yeah, away. And after that, Kami-sama ordered him to go home. And Konko-sama left for home, still looking for the money. And just before sunset, the founder arrived home from Kasaoka and gave thanks to Kami-sama for the day. And Kami-sama asked him, did you find the money? And Konko-sama answered, no, I didn't. But I received great blessing today, which I cannot replace with money, he answered. So Kami-sama asked, what do you mean? And Konko-sama founder answered, although I usually sit in the worship hall all day long, I was allowed to walk far away and have a chance to stretch my body today. I am grateful. So Kami-sama said, whenever I have you go, you take it positively. Now I really understand your heart. This is very unique episode to me. What do you think, Edna-sensei, about this?
Yeah, my dad always talks about this one in his sermon. So for all these like little episodes that the founder received instruction from Kami-sama, and there, you know, some of them are really strange, and it feels nowadays people think you're just crazy or like possessed or something, but the founder, nonetheless, he still followed those instructions from Kami-sama. And because he did, no matter how weird they were, it led up to this moment right here, right now. So if he didn't follow those instructions on that day at that time, then the history of Konkokyo could be different, is what I think. Any little changes in what the founder did or didn't do would mean, you know, it could equal this church still being here or not. Yeah, so even if it was really strange instructions but given by Kami-sama, I am appreciative that Konko Daijin followed through. Otherwise, maybe I would not be here. Yeah, yeah, that's what I think.
Amy?
Sorry, what was the question exactly?
Your thoughts on this episode?
On this episode? I don't know. It's that one sounded more like exactly what you said kind of at the end. Kami-sama praised Konko-sama for having always seeing the positive in situations. He was just made to walk miles in an unknown direction,
mm-hmm.
looking for something that he didn't know was going to be there or not. Ended up not even being there, right? He never found money like he was told to look for. Yet he was able to see that he was given an opportunity to stretch his legs, to get out of the hiromae and have an adventure. Yeah, I just think if I were in Konko-sama's shoes and I was made to walk that far looking for something I don't know what I'm looking for, that's there, that might be there, might not be there, I think I would be upset. I would be spending a lot of my time being upset about the thing, and it would be really hard for me to see the positive in that situation. But that's the difference between me and I feel like a lot of people who don't have that level of faith that Konko-sama has had. And that's why he is who he is, right? And that's why he was chosen by Kami-sama. I guess it's a reminder to try to see things in a positive light in any situation.
Mm-hmm.
That anything can be seen as a blessing. Most situations can be seen as blessings. Very difficult to do. I struggle with it every day. So, yeah, good reminder.
To me, this Kami-sama instruction, tomorrow I will have you pick up some money, get up early and go to West. Not clear. I mean, why? First of all, why you have to go? How much money you're looking for? And also, whose money? That's for me, or if on the street somebody lost it. So, is it a good thing if I don't find it because nobody lost it? If I found it, what should I do? I should find someone who lost it, or I can have it? Come someone will instruct me after that? So there's a mixed feeling.
Yeah, because I think when you're saying that, I'm like thinking, yeah, I would probably think I'm looking for a sack of money on the side of the street and I'm supposed to pick it up and take it home, and it's naturally going to be for me.
I think depend on the amount. If you have like $1 million, maybe I will look for. Officially, I can get some money from them instead of like stealing. So this is very unique Kami-sama challenge. Kami-sama challenged Konko Daijin founder. even he started liturgical mediation. So this is the last episode I wanted to share today. So I share four stories of founders. Do you have any thoughts or comment on one of the, what was the most unique or interesting episode for you?
Well, for me, I think it's the one where he was told that the person died.
Mm.
And he went to the house, right? In funeral clothes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because back then, of course, there was no like telephone to confirm. The only way to confirm is to like go to the house and like be like, is he alive today? Or like, did he die? And ask. So yeah, I think he felt kind of embarrassed. Because like, you know, sometimes I have dreams of like people like dying.
Mm.
And it's so vivid and I get scared, you know? So it's like, oh, I hope that doesn't happen. So to me, I don't know if it's like a sign from Kami-sama, but those dreams really scare me. So what I do is I always otodoke toitsugi mediation with sensei and said, I had this kind of really scary dream. Hope it doesn't come true. Hope they continue to live healthy. And yeah. And that way I feel at peace, at ease.
Amy, did you learn something from those episodes?
I don't know if it's something new, but it was a reminder that I tend to look at things negatively.
Mm.
And I do find it hard to see blessings in the situation, especially when I'm going through them. I can, you know, hindsight is 20/20 is what they say, but I can often look back on a situation, and sometimes it takes longer, depending on the situation, to find the silver lining, or to find that, oh, maybe that was actually a blessing, or find blessings in any terrible situation. That kind of seems like my ongoing theme with my faith training.
Mm.
In myself. Like it's constant reminder that not all crappy situations are really crappy. They're not supposed to be. There's something there I'm supposed to learn or recognize. Or I think a lot of people go through that. A lot of people go through situations that they need to be reminded that it's not all just negative. It's if you can change your... You often actually, Koichi Sensei, often mention that in your sermons. If you can change your perspective on a situation and recognize the blessings, like Konko-sama did, then life would be much happier, not as frustrating.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think that was just, all four stories were a good reminder.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. To me, the word curiosity, it came up to my mind. Even the Issei Shrine pilgrimage, he could be curious to learn something new through a trip. And even the other episode is seemed like a frustrating situation. Or lie, come is lie, but be staying curious so that you continue to be positive or open your mind so you can learn something. If you depress or a closed-minded, you miss the blessings. Kami-sama preparing blessing for you in the future, but because we disappointed or depressed, so we may be not able to receive it. So I think if we're staying curious, we can be positive, we can have energy to move on. That's what I learned from this episode today. Thank you very much. We talked a lot today, and I hope you enjoyed the four episodes I shared. But now it's time to wrap up. We hope you found today's conversation just as enjoyable and insightful. But a big thank you to everyone for joining us today. Your time and support mean a lot to us, and we're truly grateful that you chose to spend it with us here on Konko Talk. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and YouTube to ensure you never miss an episode. And if you think our conversation today could inspire others, please do share it with your friends and family. We're always eager to hear from you, so if you have any comments, questions, or ideas for what you would like us to talk about in future episodes, please don't hesitate to reach out via email and at konkotalk@gmail.com. But until paths cross again, take care of yourselves and stay curious. This is Koichi Konko, along with Amy and Edna. Thank you very much. Mata aimashou. Let's meet
Thank
again.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Edna.
Thank you. Thank you.